Good morning, everyone. Today our reading will be from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. So that's Mark 10, verse 46 to 52. So blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. It's the word of God.
Good job.
Well, in God's providence, I mentioned last week as we begin this new academic year, we came to the heart of the Gospel of Mark. You remember verse 45 of chapter 10? The one we've come to worship today, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that little verse, if you like, is a good summary of the two parts of this beautiful gospel. Chapters 1 to 10, we looked at Christ as the servant. And I hope that we are all incrementally more servants now than we were when we first began. And then the rest of the chapters we're going to look at, of course, his great sacrifice as he makes his way to the cross and nothing's going to stop him. On the way to Jerusalem, he meets someone who is a great contrast, incredibly, to the disciples who are taking a long time to understand what Jesus wants. They think, you remember last week, they think Jesus owes them something. As they come through Jericho, they meet a man whom most people would have ignored. But while he cannot see physically with the eyes of his heart, he can see a lot further than the rest of them. Let's pray together. Lord, what else can we say? But we need you. Not just blind Bartimaeus needed you. Stands as an example to us that we all need you, and we need you not only for physical healing, we need you for the deepest healing of the soul. Somehow you enabled him to see his need and to trust in you. Our deepest longings can only find fulfillment in you. Our greatest sin and brokenness finds redemption in you alone, and our lingering fears and doubt can only be released through you. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are like me, there are some things that you take with you wherever you go, right? When you left your home country, I'm sure there was something very precious that you grabbed onto. In my case, it was a favorite jersey, the one that Hundley didn't like. But it came with me, along with our collection of sheep, which you will see if you visit us. When my mom died, Hunley and I stayed in her apartment. Nobody else wanted to do that, but we felt a measure of peace in doing so. And I had the opportunity, I'd seen it before, but an opportunity to see the kind of things that were precious to her. Something that I had missed, though, was one of the many magnets she had on her fridge. And the magnet, I couldn't find it. I tried to bring it along, but I know I've got it at home somewhere. The magnet read, "You can fool everyone else, but you can't fool Mom." A lot of truth in that, right? A lot of truth. That's why you're laughing. And if you understand that, you're kind of prepared for the story. It's not about possessions, right? Later on today, we're going to remember Annette, who was a valued member of this congregation, who poured her life into some of you who are here today. It's not about possessions. It's not about what we take with us to another country. The only thing that matters when I breathe my last, when you breathe your last, is faith. What is true faith? I want to know the answer to that question. How do I know that I'm not fooling anybody else? How do I know that I'm a real Christian? Why is it important for you today not only to know Jesus, but to know that you're right before him and can stand before him? Bartimaeus is great for us to understand that. And he shows us that in knowing Jesus, who we cannot fool, you actually begin to see your heart as it really is. Something the disciples were still learning. So today I ask you the question, how is your faith life? I want us to learn from Bartimaeus about true faith. I want you to see that true faith sees, true faith sticks, true faith saves, and true faith stays. And we begin, of course, simply by seeing that true faith sees. We've already seen, haven't we, blindness that was very common in the days of Jesus. And maybe blindness was more in your face because those who were blind, they had really no means to support themselves. And so I want you to meet Bartimaeus. And he's a man who's had to learn to survive. His life is about surviving. So this day begins like any other. He's got to go to where the people are. That's what he does every day. And so he's woken up. And wherever he slept, maybe around the corner somewhere, he's shaken the straw off his garments. Maybe with a stick, he's tapped his way to the main gate. And since he's dependent on other people, he knows where the kind people are who will give him a crust of bread. And he's very alert. One thing about blind people is that their other senses are incredibly sharp. He hears the donkey approaching, carrying the melons to the market. He senses the women as they're on their way to the well. He smells the fish that people love to eat. But today there's a different sound. And as he's settling himself there on the Jericho highway, there's a crowd approaching. Verse 46 tells us it's a very large crowd. And in that crowd, there is a man who will not pass Bartimaeus by. I want us to pause just a little bit. We live in a very, very fast-paced world, and it's getting faster. And we're impressed by technology, and we're impressed with big. Bigger is better. And we love crowds. And it's so easy to lose sight of the one. And, you know, it occurred to me that as I was working through this passage that this is the only time that in his gospel Mark gives a name to the person that Jesus heals. You may know that Bar, it means son of in Aramaic. Timaeus was not an Aramaic name, it was a Greek name. So his name means a son of honor. And yet here is a man, a blind man, who doesn't know where he fits in, not just because he's blind, right? Am I a Jew? And I've got a Greek name. Am I a Gentile? Here's a man who's more despised than honored, who's noticed for not being like anybody else. And yet he's the one that Jesus sees when others will not. Isn't Jesus wonderful? People had their own views about Jesus, but nobody could ignore him. So Bartimaeus first hears the young boys maybe running ahead, then the people are coming to the gate. Who is coming? Or that is Jesus of Nazareth, the one who heals the lame and lepers and other blind people and whom some say is the Messiah. And while many that day may know more about Jesus, there is one who will not miss the opportunity. One who, because of his faith, will get up and cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You don't have to tell any blind person that they can't see. And Barnabas, as we're going to see, wants to be healed. But without being aware of a greater darkness in his own heart, he would first have said, heal me. He does say it later. And then he would have said, have mercy on me. But as a man who knows that he needs the mercy of Jesus, I cannot see, not just with my eyes. I'm in a world of my own in darkness. Oh, if Jesus would give me sight. Oh, if he would give me sight in every area I want to see. What does it mean to see Jesus? Well, I think it's very clear that to see Jesus by faith, and I appreciate the way that Nico prayed today. If you want to see Jesus first, you've got to see your own heart. You've got to see your heart in all of its depravity and the potential for great sin that can keep you in the dark. In the week I read about Chuck Colson. Some of the older people maybe know about Chuck Colson, who began prison fellowship and was indicted for his role in the Watergate scandal. You can read about that in the 1970s. In one of his books, Who Speaks for God, he says something very revealing. He was watching a TV show and the host was interviewing a man who'd survived Auschwitz. His name was Yehiel Dinur. And he'd been a witness in the war trials in Nuremberg. And years later, in 1961, he came face to face with Adolf Eichmann. And there in that courtroom, as he looked into the eyes of this incredible murderer, he began to sob and he began to faint. And Colson says in his book, was Dinur overcome by hatred or horrid memories? No, it was none of these. As he explained to the talk show host, he realized that Adolf Eichmann was an ordinary man. And he said, this is a man who survived Auschwitz. I was afraid about myself. I saw that I'm capable to do this. I am exactly like he. Brothers and sisters, does it offend you today when I say to you that you are worse than you think? That I'm worse than I think before a holy God? If it will offend you, then I say to you, why would you cry to Jesus for mercy? Because you're a little bit better than anybody else? Because you've got something in you that makes you acceptable? Chuck Colson said that it wasn't Watergate that changed his heart. He said, as I sat alone in my car, my own sin, not just dirty politics, but the hatred and evil so deep within me. It was thrust before my eyes forcefully and painfully. And for the first time in my life, I felt unclean. And worst of all, he says, I couldn't escape. But he said, in those moments, I found myself driven into the arms of the living God. I love that song that we sometimes sing. And I hope we take into heart what we sing. I was blinded. All right, do you believe that? I was blinded. Blinded. Worse than Bartimaeus. Physically blinded by my sin. Had no ears to hear your voice. And then your spirit gave me life. Opened up your word to me. Today I want to ask you, do you see your need? So that you can see Jesus. And what of you, dear Christian, who already have faith? Do you not only see Jesus? Do you, like Jesus, see the one person on your path? The one person for whom you are praying? The one whom you can evangelize? The one that you can disciple? Lord, make us a congregation that's not so caught up with the many that we miss the one. True faith sees, but then true faith sticks. I just imagine the scene. One moment, the level of the crowd is as normal, and if it's a big crowd, it's not really normal. There's a lot going on and a lot of noise. And then there's Bartimaeus, and he goes up one notch further, louder than everybody else. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me. Boy, that's insight. You know, we husbands who married, sometimes our wives have far more insight than we do. Hunley can tell me who's going to con me out of money before I believe that that's actually the case. But this insight is incredibly amazing. This is the only place where Mark gives to Jesus the title Son of David. son of David. And Matthew, in fact, uses this twice in his gospel. He uses it in the same incident where there he says that actually two beggars, two blind people had come to Jesus, which seems to me that Mark is focusing on one particularly. And then in Matthew 12, verse 23, when Jesus healed a demon-possessed man, the crowd says, could this be the son of David? Now, I want you to understand that Bartimaeus is no, well, we're all theologians, we should be, but Bartimaeus is no big deal theologian. He hasn't done the doctrines that some of you are doing in the adult Bible class in the admin block, but he obviously knows something about the Old Testament, and yet he doesn't have to be an expert to know what he does, that this Jesus is not just a rabbi, that this Jesus is the promised heir to the throne of David. He's the promised king. He has no equal. He is the Lord of what I can see and what I can't see. Why wouldn't he not want to be merciful to me? I'm going to stick with Jesus. Pause again. Somebody once asked Helen Keller, who was born not only blind but deaf as well. Somebody once asked her, isn't it terrible to be born blind? Now, I must confess, if I had the choice between being born blind and deaf, I would imagine that I would prefer not to be blind. I mean, not to see the beautiful colors in the world that God has given to us, not to see the smile in your child's face. You know what Helen said? Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. Brothers and sisters, don't feel too sorry for Bartimaeus. In that darkness, that physical darkness, I've had time to think. I've had time not to be distracted. I've heard about Jesus, and I have asked, and I've seen him as he is, Savior, Messiah, and King. Please don't miss that. Please don't miss that. On the one hand, there's the contrast with the crowds. The more they try and stop him shouting, the more he won't be stopped. He shouted all the more. And you see in verse 48 that he's persistent until he gets. He won't stop until he gets what he's looking for. There's a mark of real faith, if you're wondering what real faith is. By grace, I've been in ministry since 1990, and I've seen many people waiting for something before they will believe. And maybe there's somebody here today, if God only proves himself to me in a particular area, then I will believe. Or maybe there's somebody else here, and you're saying God helps those who help themselves. So when I take the step, maybe he will be ready for me, and you prolong it. And there are people who come to church, and they remain on the fringes, and they have a faith that's clinging to the church, or they have a faith that's clinging to other people. When what is needed is faith in Jesus. Saving faith is in the person of Jesus. And forget the crowds. Look at the contrast with the disciples. Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Not very much, Lord. Just a seat on your seat in heaven. Not very much. Bartimaeus is seeking mercy, not glory. He understands why Jesus is much better at this stage than the disciples on their journey. Oh, I wonder if there's somebody here today and something's keeping you back. Please hear me. Hear me well. You don't have to wait for years of Bible study. You don't have to have a particular background or education. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. If Bartimaeus finds mercy in Jesus, so can you. If you're a new Christian, your faith may be small. You may be uncertain. But if you persevere in your cries to Jesus, it doesn't matter how many discouragements you face, you will find mercy in Jesus. And there's a warning here too. Make sure that if you stick to Jesus and you want to, you are sticking to Jesus. You can stick to many things and look good, but not stick to Jesus. Judas was at one stage even a remorseful person. He did not stick to Jesus. Ananias was a generous person who gave to the church. He did not stick to Jesus. Felix was interested to hear from Paul about Jesus. He trembled at the word, but he did not stick to Jesus. If you have true faith, if you have Bartimaeus' faith,
you'll be devoted to Jesus. All your doctrines will come from him. All your motives for whatever you do will be found in him. All your joy will be wrapped up in him. And your completeness will be in Jesus and nobody else. True faith sees, it sticks. And then, of course, true faith saves. Well, what does Bartimaeus expect from Jesus and what does he get? First, Jesus' attention. Amid all the noise, he hears him and he says to someone else, call him. And there's a lovely picture here. Somebody says to him, cheer up, he's calling you. And I think that Bartimaeus expects something big from Jesus. If you are blind, one thing you would not do is ever drop your cloak, because that's the only garment you had. You would keep it with you. And here is Bartimaeus, and he throws his cloak aside, and then he jumps to his feet, and he comes to Jesus. What we want says a lot about us. Says a lot about us. We know what the disciples wanted, right? The verses before. Bartimaeus, not glory, not riches. I want most what those around me already have, and I believe that you can give it to me. I want to see Rabboni. That's a literal word he uses. Not the normal word for rabbi, which means professor or teacher. Rabboni, the word that Mary Magdalene used when she recognized Jesus raised from the dead. That same word, my Lord and my Master. And in this man, we have, I think, a picture of a true disciple. We see Jesus as Lord and Master. We see that Jesus alone can save. And Jesus says, go, verse 52, your faith has healed you. Can I try and freeze the moment? It's not always easy to do, but some translations have this as your faith has made you well. But the more literal translation, which you have to take in the context of Mark, is your faith has saved you. It's not just that Jesus makes this man well in body. He can do that easily. Where he chooses to do, he can do it. It seems that before Bartimaeus receives his physical sight, his faith in Jesus enables him to see with his heart. He's saved by faith, not by faith in his faith. Not by faith in positive thinking. He's saved by faith in Jesus alone. And when he believes and Jesus acts, he sees what he's never been able to see before. I had a cataract surgery in one eye not too long ago. And you know, today they can do amazing things with eye surgery. In October 1981, a woman began to see the world in a way which she never thought possible. Her name was Anna Penica. She was blind from birth. She was now 62. At the age of 47, she married a man that she'd met in her Braille class. And for the first 15 years, he did the seeing for both of them until he lost complete sight in his own eyes. Here's a woman who'd never seen the green of spring or the blue of a summer sky. She seemed not to be resentful about it, but when the doctor removed some rare congenital cataracts from the lens of her left eye, she began to see for the first time ever. There was a sense in which she immediately could recognize her husband, of course, but other acquaintances were taller or shorter or heavier or skinnier than she imagined. And for her, every morning was a privilege to be able to see her own face. But my point is, unless the surgeon had acted, she would have been powerless to see. And here is how it works, you see, on the spiritual front. Bartimaeus wasn't a lucky person. Bartimaeus took his opportunity. And if you're not yet a Christian today, take your opportunity. You do not know how long you've got to live. Take your opportunity. Bartimaeus took his opportunity. He understood his need. He did not let Jesus go by, but actually Jesus comes to him. And the Savior calls out his faith. And when he does it, he can't see in the same way again. And if you're a Christian, do you understand why it is important to know that Jesus has saved you and that Jesus alone will keep you fast? There's not a person here, I think, who has not caught yourself thinking, I don't feel very saved. When some of us visited Annette, not too long before she passed away, she had some very dark thoughts. Why can we speak of someone being able to die confidently in faith? Not because they had the best faith always, not even because they had tears of repentance, but because of Jesus. He will keep me fast. It's not what I feel. It's not what I do. Do I have enough fruit in my life? Check. Am I having a quiet time? Check. Did I have a spiritual conversation in the week? Check, check, check. I'm feeling really saved today. When Bartimaeus loses the thrill of seeing, there is something he will not lose. And that is Jesus Christ. And we sang it, didn't we? Though Satan should tempt, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. For, Lord Jesus, you see every weakness and you know every fear. And more than that, you've shed your own blood for my soul. And that's where I want to end. Faith sees, it sticks, it saves. Faith stays. Faith stays. Here's the test of how you can know that you're known by Jesus. Here's the test of how you can really be certain. Look at verse 52 in the text. Go, Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Actually, along the road has a kind of double meaning. You can literally translate it in the way. So Bartimaeus is on the road with Jesus. He's also following in the way of Jesus. No negotiation here. A couple of things we need to sort out. Give me some clarity. Very simple. He's immediately on the way with Jesus. He's sticking with Jesus and he's not going to leave Jesus. And his whole life has a different trajectory. He is determined to walk with Jesus every step of the way. Is that a description of you today? I've had to preach to my own heart in coming to this passage. Is that a description of you? There's a difference between having a faith and believing in Jesus. There's a difference between coming to church and saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and believing in Jesus. There's some here today, and you may read the Bible when you need to read it. You may go to church when you think it's a good idea, possibly, to go to church. But 3 or 4 years down the line, there's no hunger for holiness, no desire to be more like Jesus. Conversion is not perfection, but it's a radical U-turn in what you believe. And while he's on this way, Bartimaeus finds that life not only looks different, but there's a new battle. There's a battle to doubt the path sometimes. There's a battle to know, will I get to the end of the destination? There's a battle. But for Bartimaeus, who now has sight, in following Jesus, he finds all that he needs. Here's a great definition of Christianity that I came across by Ronald Dunn. Jesus is all that you need, but you will not know it until he's all that you've got. And then when he's all that you've got, you'll know that he's all that you need. Couldn't help but think of a man who was in our second congregation, a man who loved the Lord called John. As far as I know, he's still following the Lord. He was a man who dabbled in religion for many years. He never understood the gospel. He didn't want to understand it. He was satisfied, or so he thought, by his work. He was satisfied, or so he thought, by his bodybuilding. He was a bodybuilder. He was satisfied with his family and his life as it was. And for many years he said, why do I need saving? From what? You know what impacted his life? Not any particular sermon he heard, not any reading that he'd done. That came later. Not looking particularly. Simply a man with whom he worked. A man who's a nameless man. I don't know his name. I don't think he was called Son of Honor, but a man of honor. because he was a man who could see Jesus. And because his whole life was changed and he was on the way with Jesus, John could not resist asking, why? Why? Why are you so different? Brothers and sisters, today, how is your faith life? Do you see Jesus? Are you sticking to Jesus and staying with him? And if you're here today and you still feel unworthy, I'm not good enough, let me say that if it's mercy you want, you please don't wait. What does it mean to get your life together? What does that mean? What does that mean? Don't wait to get your life together. Your life is not together. My life is not together. We are sinners. Right? Come to Jesus, who will give you all that you need. You will seek me and you will find me when you will search me with all your heart. So come as you are and come right now. And if today you have come, well, you can sing as we're going to sing. My sins were washed away. And I can see because my night has been turned to day. I want to be like Bartimaeus the beggar, because I'm pretty sure that as he followed Jesus, he told other beggars where to find the real bread of life. I want to look, be able to look out for the one person, and say to him, cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to remember a woman of great faith, great faith. She was saved in no different a way than blind Bartimaeus. May God give to each of us that same assurance. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're so full of mercy. Lord, I thank you that you created us in your image, and I thank you for the desire that you've given to us to worship. I thank you, too, that despite sin and the blindness and the deceit that it brings into our hearts and lives, there is one who's conquered sin. That's the reason why this afternoon we will not grieve as those without any hope. But I thank you for Jesus Christ, whom amazingly Bartimaeus recognized, Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus whose body did not see decay. Jesus who's risen from the dead. Jesus whom we can trust for this life and for eternity. We don't want to waste this time, Lord. I pray particularly for anybody who's here today who's not yet trusted in you, or maybe who's begun to realize that they've trusted in an institution or in a particular church or in a particular person, but they're actually not walking with Jesus. I pray that in this moment you will give them grace to turn from sin and put all of their faith and confidence in Jesus, who once he has us, will keep us fast and never leave us. And then I pray for those of us who have experienced your saving grace in our lives that has led us to faith. I pray that our faith will grow stronger every single day, more determined to follow you in the way, and yet that our confidence would ever be not even in the extent of our own faith, but ultimately in Jesus, whom we love and for whom we now sing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. When at the cross the Savior made me whole.
Lord, to stir our hearts as we go out to serve you in this week, as later today at 4 o'clock we remember someone whose sins were washed away, someone who followed you in the way, someone who was a great blessing to so many. Thank you for the joy of Jesus. Thank you for the peace of Jesus. Thank you for the love of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sought us, you called us, you keep us, that ultimately you will bring us safely into heaven. Heaven in our hearts now, one day, heaven before us. New heavens and the new earth. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.